Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
Believers are people who put Jesus' words into practice. But some Christians do that a lot more than others. So what are we to make of that? What does it mean for you if you obey less than others, or more than others? Up to this point now, I've painted everything in black and white. It's all been black and white. Either you're built on sand or on Judgment Day, or the rock on Judgment Day. You're saved or lost. You're on the narrow road or broad road. You're known by him or not known by him. There's no in-between. No medium road. But what I'd like to do now is take a little time to zoom in on the people whose foundation is on the rock. Let's just forget about the sand for now. Let's talk about this genuinely saved people who know the Lord and who are on the rock. Here we all are on this giant bedrock. And we look around at each other and we realize we're not all actually obeying him to the same degree, right? There's varying levels of our obedience. We all stumble in following him, but some of us stumble a whole lot more than others. Some have great faith, others have little faith, weak faith. Some love the Lord with just a white-hot, passionate, joyful worship. Others need a microscope to see the fruit on the branches of their life. We've applied this principle now in an absolute way between saved and lost. Is it legitimate to take the same principle and apply it to in degrees for people who are more obedient or less obedient, who are all saved? And I think the answer to that is yes. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you trust him and love him as a result of knowing him, and so out of that comes a life of striving to obey, then you're safe on Judgment Day, you're on the rock, but between now and the second coming, as we live our lives, we have these varying levels of obedience, and so I think you can apply the same principle in this way. To the degree that you are obedient, your house will tend to withstand the tests of life, and to the degree that you're disobedient to the words of Christ, your house will be vulnerable to the tests of life. And you'll be vulnerable to destruction, and you'll be vulnerable to being shaken by those storms. I believe that that's accurate. I believe that this, the way Jesus states this here, lends itself to both an absolute application between the saved and the lost, and a relative application in degrees among the saved. And I think the rest of Scripture supports the same idea. When a Christian is disobedient in some area of his life, Scripture is very clear. He makes himself vulnerable to being shaken by the hardships of life. When we disobey Christ at any point, anytime we step off the right path onto the wrong path, we provoke him to withdraw his blessing on our lives, don't we? To some degree. Not totally. Not totally. Never. He'll never totally remove his blessing from a believer, ever. But he will dial back his blessing in degrees from the believer when we disobey. There are consequences of disobeying. Proverbs 15:10, stern discipline awaits him who leaves the path. I mean, he disciplines us. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. He's like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in the season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. So the more you delight in the law of God, the more your life flourishes and prospers. Obviously then, the less you delight in the law of the Lord, the less you're going to have that blessing on your life. So when we disobey as Christians, we make ourselves, to a degree, vulnerable to the storms of life. So you got two Christians, both of them on the rock, both genuine, true Christians. Both walking by the Spirit. But one of them is walking by the Spirit in great measure, and the other is really stumbling around in disobedience quite a bit. And then the storm hits their lives. Same storm. Both of them lose a child in some tragic accident. The one who's walking in obedience, I mean, it hurts. He suffers terrible sorrow, obviously, but the Lord carries him through that and comforts him and strengthens him and gives him hope. And he comes out the other side eventually strong and closer to God and with deeper faith and greater joy even than he had before. The other guy who was stumbling around in disobedience, who's a true Christian, he loses a child and his life just falls to pieces. He's crushed by the pain. He can't bear it. He ends up losing his job. Marriage falls apart. Whole life turns into a giant train wreck. That's the sort of thing that can happen. To the degree that you're built on sand, to that degree you make yourself vulnerable to the storms of life. In fact, you can even apply that principle in relative measure for Christians on Judgment Day itself. Did you know that on Judgment Day, Judgment Day won't go the same for every single Christian? We all build on the rock, but if we can adjust the metaphor a little bit, some Christians build with a little better building materials than other Christians. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For no one can lay a foundation other than the one that's already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. So even on Judgment Day, this principle applies in degrees. Okay, well, that brings us to the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And Matthew throws in two more little verses here at the end to give us the people's response, verses 28 and 29. And this is really kind of sad if you think about it. It says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, but because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. I mean, that's correct. That assessment is correct as far as it goes. No question. Jesus taught with incredible authority. I mean, that's his authority is unbelievable. These people that walk around trying to say, oh, Jesus never really claimed to be God. He never made all these. The church all attached all that to him after the fact, later on, built up this whole legend around him. He's just a regular guy. He never made dramatic claims. Just a good teacher. I don't know how anybody can say that who's read any of the red words in the Bible. Especially these. No special claims about himself, just a regular man. Can you imagine, if you ever want to test this, just try and imagine yourself saying these things that Jesus said. Can you imagine if I stood up here and I said this? Everyone's eternal destiny rides on whether they pay attention to my words. I mean, if I claimed that, if I stood up here and claimed I'm going to be the one seated on the bench on Judgment Day deciding the eternal fate of every single human being, you would lock me up somewhere. You put the words of Jesus into the mouth of anyone else besides Jesus, and what you've got is a lunatic. But nobody can accuse Jesus of being a lunatic because he backed up his words with the miracles and with rising from the dead and proved that he was God, and it was all true. Jesus Christ is Almighty God, the judge of all the earth. And these claims he's making here are awesome. He is the judge of all the earth. He's Almighty God. He is not someone to be trifled with. People hear his commands. Maybe you've sat here. You've been here for these last few weeks, and you're just thinking, you know what? I'm not ready. I'm not ready to make that kind of a commitment. Not ready? You know, that's a innocent sounding way of saying it, but really, the reality is the problem isn't that you're not ready. The problem is you're not willing. If you strip away the euphemism, I'm not ready, what it really amounts to is this. You are rebelling against the King of Kings and you are unwilling to lay down your weapons and surrender to Him. And if that's you, the solution for you is to repent of that rebellion before it's too late. Just let go of whatever it is in this worthless world that you're clinging to that can never make you happy, never bring you satisfaction anyway, and entrust yourself totally to Him. Lay down your weapons and embrace Him, and He'll give you full amnesty. Even though you've been in rebellion against Him and committed treason against Him, do it now. Now, today. It's a limited time offer. This amnesty. Soon it'll be too late. He's an awesome, powerful king, but He's also a delightful master. He really is. He's a delightful master, a way more delightful master than whatever master's dragging you around by the nose in this world. And if you've been with us through this study, you know His words. These words that He's telling us to obey, they're beautiful words, and they're true. And they're a delight to the soul. And they point us to a treasure that is worth any price to obtain. So turn your back on this world, surrender fully to Him, and He will give you abundance of joy and eternal riches in the life to come. And He'll forgive your sins, all your sins, wipe away your guilt completely in a moment. And He will plead your case with the Father and secure for you every blessing imaginable in eternity. And He will give you, at that moment, a new heart. He'll make you a new person and give you new desires and enable you to experience and enjoy the very presence of God in a way that can cause satisfaction of soul through any pain. There's nothing in the world that can do that. He will guide you, He will teach you, He will encourage you, He will strengthen you, He will be with you, He will motivate you, He will commission you to do great, important, eternal things in His service and in His kingdom. And when judgment day arrives, you will be safe in Him. Lord, it is an amazing thing to have sat at Your feet all these 71 weeks and listen to principles from Your sermon. And we are like these people, Lord. We are amazed at the authority with which You speak. But we don't want to just walk away amazed. It's sad when we read that. They were just amazed. They didn't fall to their knees in repentance. They didn't shout for joy that they could know this one who was going to be the judge and have this full amnesty. They just walked away amazed. Lord, don't let anybody walk out of here just impressed with You. Just impressed. Let their amazement at Your words bring them to surrender their rebellion and embrace You and come to be Your child. Lord, let us all walk out of here with rock under our feet. And to the degree that those of us who know You and who are on that foundation are stumbling around and drifting into a little bit of sand here and there, and we're some area where we're just not really obeying You, Lord, forgive us. Thank You for Your patience. Give us the grace to repent of that and turn back to You.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.